Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Reversing the slide.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. We had a nice run there watching oil prices fall for about a week, but by Friday they were on the rise again, gaining over a dollar a barrel. Over the weekend, Iran said it would not suspend uranium enrichment, and we got wind of some coming tropical weather in the Gulf Coast. This morning, a barrel of U.S. light crude is up another 50 cents to $71.63 a barrel. We've all heard of ANWR, but just west of the reserve lies a vast area of unprotected wetlands that the Department of the Interior is expected to open to oil drilling this week. It's one of the most easily accessible untapped oil reserves in the nation. But like ANWR, it's also considered environmentally sensitive. Recent news of corroding pipelines in Prudhoe Bay have many questioning whether drilling there is worth the risk. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The Department of Interior estimates 8 million acres in and around Lake Tshekpuk could hold some 2 billion barrels of recoverable oil. Oppenheimer & Co. oil analyst Fadel Gate doubts those figures, but he says with today's technology and high oil prices, it doesn't take much to make a new drilling project worthwhile.
We don't have to hit a grand slam first at bat. We can win the game, you know, hitting singles and doubles.
But environmentalists say long-term costs to the area's rich ecosystem outweigh any short-term boost to domestic oil supplies, especially when you consider the track record for North Slope drilling, says Alaska Coalition's Ora Landau.
There are chronic problems, including well failures, oil spills, toxic dumping, air pollution, worker safety violations. And the BP shutdown, frankly, is just sort of the rest of the country realizing what's happening up here.
Landau says there's a reason that even the Reagan administration kept this area off limits. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
In China, bribery is a fact of business life. A whopping 94% of Chinese believe that, according to a new survey. Jocelyn Ford has more from Beijing.
Most people in China believe if you don't grease someone's palm, you'll probably go out of business. The survey by the prestigious Nankai University said 3/4 of the respondents said they would pay bribes themselves, and most would not squeal on someone who was involved in corruption. Alistair Nicholas believes that's true for the foreign business community, too. He runs his own public relations agency in Beijing, and he's one of the few foreign business people to speak publicly about corruption.
I think to a large extent, people have tended to say, well, this is the way business is done here. There's nothing much that one company could do about it.
Nicholas has tried to organize foreign companies to fight corrupt practices here, but so far he's had little success. When a potential customer asked him for kickbacks, he didn't go along, but he also didn't blow the whistle, because being squeaky clean in China might scare away other clients. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, here in the U.S., vacation is not a part of business life. A new survey from the Conference Board says 40% of American workers said they had no plans to take any holiday at all over the next 6 months. Wall Street put together 5 straight happy days last week. Dow jumped 2.5%. The Nasdaq jumped 5%. This is Marketplace. The world's largest meat processor announced it's laying off nearly 800 workers in October. Now workers at plants in Idaho and Washington State have a choice to make. Carol Chizauskas explains.
Tyson is offering workers cash incentives of up to $5,000 to relocate to plants in Kansas and Nebraska. Given the state of the economy around Tyson's Pasco, Washington slaughterhouse, it might be hard to say no. Dean Shaw is an economist who analyzes labor trends in the Evergreen State. He says the job market around Pasco is flat compared to the rest of the state, especially the Seattle area.
Right now, the state of Washington's economy is getting very, very hot. And if anything, there's a shortage of workers. But it's going to be hard on these families. Getting laid off in October, just before like Thanksgiving and the approaching of Christmas time.
Analysts say the layoffs are part of Tyson's effort to respond to weaker chicken and beef sales. I'm Carol Chizauskas for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. On the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Brian Watt. This summer has been the bloodiest in Afghanistan since the U.S. ousted the Taliban regime almost 5 years ago. Afghan officials say U.S. forces have killed hundreds of Afghan civilians as they battle a resurgent Taliban in the south of the country. And it's not just U.S. military operations that have come under fire. The U.S. has spent over $1 billion reconstructing Afghanistan, and many say that money was badly spent. Miranda Kennedy reports.
When U.S. contractors started rebuilding Afghanistan, they were working against a deadline because donors had set targets. So they rushed. And now roads funded by the U.S. government are sliding off mountainsides and roofs of schools are collapsing. That's the allegation of a damning Government Accountability Office report issued last year. Mark Ward is with the U.S. government's aid agency.
You know, they are relying largely on untrained labor. Sometimes they do have poor materials. In a major construction contract, those sorts of things happen. You do what you can on quality control of materials, but there are going to be some mistakes.
The report claims those mistakes could have been prevented, but because contractors were worried about security, they didn't monitor quality. In Afghanistan, overseeing these operations is expensive and dangerous.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today? Hello. How are we today?
Oh, yeah.
But today, Colonel Chris Toomey, head of the Army Corps of Engineers in Afghanistan, has driven up to the northern city of Mazar-i-Sharif to do just that. He's checking on a $70 million base camp they're building for the Afghan National Army, or ANA.
See, look at this already. Hey, Gary, already. I mean, what is fair wear and tear these days?
Toomey's standing in an industrial-sized kitchen built to feed 4,000 soldiers at a time. He's looking at cracks in the massive concrete stoves. The Army Corps just finished the kitchen a couple months ago, but the stoves are already deteriorating because kitchen staff, he says, are sometimes careless.
What we have to figure out is how to design it so it can handle the way they operate.
So this is all like a process of figuring it out as you build.
Well, you know, a lot of these designs were done some time ago, and as we watch the ANA cook, we get to see what they do culturally, and we can design better.
Toomey admits that the U.S. employs plenty of contractors who don't follow up as closely as the Army Corps does. There's no law requiring the U.S. to build to a certain standard in Afghanistan or Iraq, even though American taxpayer dollars are funding it. And Afghanistan doesn't have its own building codes quite yet.
There is a master road plan, which was adopted by the government of Afghanistan. But the question is it adhered to? No, it is not adhered to.
Ultimately, he says, Afghanistan will have to figure out a way to monitor construction, or it'll keep getting schools that leak and roads that flood when it rains. In Mazar-i-Sharif, Afghanistan, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
This man's book sold more
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.